Tools for living, room to grow, a space of grace to become everything God wants us to be. You're listening to the Living Room Podcast with Joanna Weaver, episode 131. Well, with spring almost around the corner, do you find yourself in a season of change? In a type of transition where God's calling you to let go of life as you've known it so that you can step into the life that he has for you right now? In this episode of the Living Room Podcast, author Andy Andrew and I share the lessons that we've learned during our own seasons of change, because beautiful things happen when we embrace transition and believing that God is leading us, even though we're not entirely sure where he wants us to go. Well, I can't believe it's been, I don't even know how long since I got to have Andy Andrew on the podcast, but welcome to the Living Room, my friend. And I'm so excited to talk about your book, Braving Change, Release the Past, Welcome Growth, and Trust Where God is Leading You. I think there are probably a lot of people out there listening who might go, this might apply to me. But you know, I think this applies to all of us because change is inevitable, don't you think?
Definitely. Change is the one thing that is constant besides Jesus. And so that is really one of the main reasons why I wrote this book. It was beautiful because the timing of writing it was right after one of our family's personal major changes. But really, it's been something I have been wrestling with and trying to get better at for, I would say, the last 7 years or so, when I really kind of had a breakdown and was frustrated with God about all of the different changes that were happening around me. So my prayer and my hope is that this is really going to be a field guide to help people genuinely release the past, to welcome the growth that can come from change, and then genuinely lay it all down and trust God again where he's leading you. So yep, change is definitely, it's never going to stop.
I agree. I mean, that there's something about us human beings that we think that the season we're in will always be the season. And sometimes that's terrible for us because we think, well, toddlers and diapers ever end, and then they do. And then all of a sudden we're empty nesters and we're like trying to figure out, who am I without mom as my job title 24 hours a day? But there's so many different kinds of change. And I loved that in this book, you make this very interactive and you give us a chance to kind of get in touch with our change, because I think some of us don't even realize. You know, you talk about the breadcrumbs that God had been giving you. How can we recognize that maybe there is a transition or a season of change in our lives?
Yeah, I mean, let me just share a story that is maybe helpful as an illustration. When I recognized, wow, I was in a major life transition and didn't even know that I was. So we were still living in Brooklyn at the time. And our family was moving apartments. And in this new apartment, we had a washing machine, which in Brooklyn is like the greatest gift to have a washer and dryer in your house. You don't have to share it with anybody. You don't have to go up the street to the laundromat with six, you know, people in your family. And so I just remember it was like day one or two of moving into that place. And I had put our bedding in the washing machine, was getting everyone's bedding set. And the spin cycle was broken. And so therefore with bedding, it just kept doing the shake, you know, the angry shake, like I am not working. And what ended up happening was I kept like a fool going back and trying to make it work again. And it wasn't working until about the third time I literally flew off. Like I got into a fight with a washing machine. Like I screamed, I threw my hands up in the air. I hit the top of the washing machine. Like I bruised the top of my hands. The funniest part of the story is I still don't know to this day which kid it was, but one of my kids walked down the stairs, heard me yell, and walked right back up. And I just remember seeing their feet. But I just remember being so angry. And then I started sobbing. And I felt the Holy Spirit just say to me, Andy, you know, this isn't about the washing machine. And I jumped up on the washing machine and just sat there trying to make the spin cycle still work. You know, me sitting on it thinking my weight would do it. And feeling like the Lord tenderly speak to me, just saying, Andy, you're in a major life transition, and I want to show you that I am your father, if you would just come near to me. And in that season, what was happening is my mother-in-law, who we were so close with, had just passed away from an inoperable brain tumor. And my mom and dad, who had been with us, helping us, coming alongside us, pastoring the church in Brooklyn, they felt like their time after 8 years was up and they were moving to help my brother plant his church in California. And I remember feeling so abandoned and like I was losing my support network. And what had happened was anger and rage came up for me. And so therefore, everyone that was unsuspecting around me was paying for the fact that I was in the middle of a transition. I was in the middle of an internal and external change. And that was also the season where the Lord said these words to me that have stuck with me. He said, Andy, transition can either teach you or it can take you out. You get to choose. We can be formed more into the likeness of Christ with each transformation that happens, or every change, the ones we ask for, the ones we don't ask for, the kind we cry out to God for. And so I think for us to recognize the change that we're in is we have to pay attention to some of the external factors. What are we doing? How are we self-protecting? Pay attention and lean in. And that is why, in a way, it is a field guide. I write it as such, where I cause you to pay attention to where your life is at right now. Are you in a mountaintop season, a valley season, a plateau season? Have you just released kids? Are you in the empty nest season? Are you crying out to God for a change? Have you just suffered a major loss? Have you just got a new job, even one that you asked for, but you are still not navigating that change well? So that's why I really want to help people in all seasons of life to be able to recognize it and then navigate it well.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And to know that it's not a mistake. I think that that's been really helpful for me, even in those unwanted changes, to be mm-hmm. able to receive it as from the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we think things are being done to us. You know, I think of a friend who's gone through a terrible, painful divorce. It was nothing she ever wanted. She'd stood in the gap. She'd fought for her family in prayer. And yet, you know, free will. And her husband walked away. And now she's having to navigate a new normal. And I think part of the hard thing can be is we've lived with the dream of what our life will be. We've worked towards that dream for so long. And how to believe that there could be anything good when that dream is shattered. So mm-hmm. how do we do that? How did you navigate that where you were able to go, okay, that season is closed. And maybe that's really the key. I think for me, when we went through a really painful transition in ministry, to know, number one, God is in control. He's got mm-hmm. this. He's got something for us. But how to be able to close the loop on that. And you talk about the grieving process that is involved in change, which I think my friend has had to go through. And mm-hmm. and sometimes I think as Christians, we think, oh, I should just be fine. I should mm-hmm. be fine. But if we don't deal with the grief tends to deal with us. How do we navigate that?
Yeah, I think that is one of the key factors in this book that I think as a society, as a Western society, we have lost the ability or understanding of how to properly move through grief, and that grief can actually be a gift from God. And the truth is, we're not created for pain. We were created to dwell in the garden and not suffer loss or have death or destruction. And we know that Jesus has defeated death, but it still exists on this earth until he returns for his bride. So therefore, we're in this in-between. And now, but not yet, we've been given this sweet gift from God, and it's called grief. And I think that what I have realized along the years in different seasons where I didn't grieve properly or held on to something is that grief will remain inside of you. It will store up in your body physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And a lot of times we don't feel comforted. We feel alone. We feel isolated. We feel sad. And scripture tells us that God comforts those who do what? He comforts those who mourn. And so a lot of times we're trying to be the strong one. We're trying to hold it together. We're trying to move forward. We're trying to pull up our bootstraps. We're trying to be resilient. And meanwhile, we actually need to move through the grieving process because we know that there is anger and bargaining and all of these different things, but it gets us to a place of acceptance where we can go, that loss happened. that was painful. I've moved through the grief and now I'm to a place where I can accept what happened. And I'm even beginning to feel joy again for my present situation. But if we don't deal with grief, if we do not lean into it, if we do not process it, it is impossible to release the past because it becomes a thought pattern. It holds you captive. You don't let go. Like I said, you store it up in your body. Some of us have extreme anxiety. We have gut issues. We have all of these things going on, but maybe we're stuck in the middle of a cycle of grief. We're still bargaining with God, going, if only, could we just change this? We're angry. We're blaming other people. We haven't gotten to a place where we can accept, God, that happened. That was painful. Yeah. You came near to me. You comforted me. And now I can move forward. I tell people sometimes the greatest piece of advice I can give is if you haven't shed a tear over extreme loss or betrayal or death or destruction that's happened in your life, then my homework to you would be go back to your house, tell your family to leave you alone, go into your room, turn on some music, worship that hits you on the heart, and let the tears fall. Wail and grieve and mourn. Get in your car, let it out, scream and cry, like talk to God, but you have to move through grief to be able to release the past, to be able to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and God's so good because he does give us grace. I remember when we were in our transition, we had served this beautiful church for 15 years and God had just blessed it. And we'd grown, we just finished a major building project. And then we became the quintessential cliche of a church split. And God just really clearly said, it's time. It's time. It's time for you to leave. I've got something else for this church and I've got something for you. Mm-hmm. And there was a supernatural space of grace for that season where, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where God enabled us to let go. But about a year into the anniversary, I had let some things get inside and some hurt and some resentment. And I could feel myself just shutting down. I was getting locked at that point of pain. And I told my husband, I've got to get alone with Jesus. I've got to hammer this out because the grief was coming out sideways, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for that girl who goes, yeah, but I should be over it by now. I should be over it by now. How did you move through your grieving process?
Yeah. Well, for us, like our story was, you know, in 2018, I thought we were done pastoring the church. I had felt like the grace lift. My season had shifted to, you know, preaching and pouring out to the global church, writing, doing a lot of different things. And so really primarily the church that we had planted, my husband and I together, I thought, I think there's a shift coming, mainly too, because my husband went away on this retreat and came home. And I saw this vision over his life that part of the calling on him was to sit and pastor pastors and leaders. And that shift was happening. And he kind of looked at me and was like, oh, no, I don't feel that yet. And I was like, okay. So then fast forward and we pastored through 2020 in New York City.
Wow.
Like literally our church was flourishing and then 2020 hit and it was like, it got set on fire. You know what I mean? Like, and it was the whole city. It was like, it was wild. And so I think the grief for me and the pain for me came in pastoring through the spiritual war zone that was New York City in 2020. And thinking the grief and loss of people that I thought would be with us forever, like betraying us and walking away and saying some of the cruelest things, just like pastoring through COVID and elections and racial tension in a city like New York was just different than any suburb, any place in the world, you know? And so there was just a lot that compounded in that. And then, you know, we got into 2021. My husband, as I say, has a high threshold for leadership pain, which is really awesome, especially needing to be a general in that time and just lead through. But we got to 2021 and we had the right people in place. And my husband looked at me and said, okay, I think it's time to transition the church. And I was like, seriously? Now? And the resentment that I had for feeling like I thought we were done in 2018, my resentment towards God, towards my husband, towards everyone that I was like, the pain that we had to walk through, you know what I mean? So I think for me, And the transition was actually beautiful. We had friends that had started to serve with us. We transitioned the church to them. Church is moving forward. They're doing great.
That's awesome.
And our season changed. And now my husband is working and he's pastoring pastors and leaders through the Barnabas Network and Pastors Collective. We're part of Seacoast Church and he works for Pastor Greg Surratt. So we landed in this beautiful place. But then I had to sit with, oh my gosh, the wreckage. And realizing, like, just because God brought us to a beautiful, wide open space didn't mean that I didn't come with me.
Isn't that the biggest bummer of it all?
I'm like, oh, that's gross. That's gross what's in me. So really the beauty of, like, not being a lead pastor, not having all of these things that I was carrying, was that I was forced to heal and sit in basically spiritual rehab with Jesus and recover and rebuild. And so I think that that's the thing, is for anybody that feels like, oh, I should be past this or I should be over it, all I would say to that person is pay attention when something comes up for you. Why is it coming up for you? Is it the anniversary? Like you said, for you, it was like, it was the anniversary a year later, even though God's grace was on the transition, things were good. Same for us. God's grace was on the transition, things were good. And then there were things that came up that were just so painful. And it felt like a sideswipe. That's why, you know, grief is like, it shows up as an uninvited guest where you're like, time out. I did not expect you to be here. But when it shows up, deal with it, because God reveals at the time that he is ready to heal. So if it's being revealed, God has the power to heal. So allow yourself to go there and don't step away from it, because I'll tell you what, it'll come back up again in another season.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the thing that we don't understand is, again, it's this Christian idea that I've got to do it right. I should always have it together. I should never struggle. Not realizing that it's in those hard places where it's an invitation to growth, right? It's, you know, I remember when God said, I need you to forgive these people, where all my resentment had kind of landed on a few. And as God began to say, Joanne, I'm not saying bad you, terrible you for feeling this way. You have legitimate reason, but it is destroying you. And so that invitation to forgiveness is really an invitation to healing, but we got to do the hard work, because it isn't the magic wand that I want, you know, like, okay, no. I forgive, now I'm fine. No, I had to, like, be able to feel the pain, get honest, like even write some letters that I knew would never be sent to anyone. But I needed to get honest.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I'm kind of a Pollyanna. I just want to love everybody. I want to, you know, okay, if there's a problem, it's obviously me. I'm sorry. Let's go on, you know, rather than going, no, that really hurt. That was really unfair. I don't have to tidy it up. I had a friend say something really interesting. She had walked through a really difficult time, and God had just brought her through some beautiful things. And I said, shared my story. I said, you know, it was really hard, but God was good. She goes, no, it was really hard and God is good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we cancel the hard with the but, you know, rather than going, no, it really stunk. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. I think of my friend with this divorce. It was not the perfect will of God.
No.
It was terrible and God is good. It was terrible and God has a hope and a future. How do we, I just think about that girl who's out there going, okay, I hear you, but I am afraid that if I get in touch with my pain, I don't know what's going to come out. If I let it out, will I ever get it taken care of, or will it just, you know, that pain can be so big.
Yeah. Well, you either get to live with it bottled up, or you get it out and you walk through healing. And that is a very, like, I'm saying that in a one sentence, in one line, but listen, my whole life, and I feel like this is like a signature, the story of my life has been that I just know that there is always more. That Jesus came for our sozo, for our wholeness, to be whole, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
And that it is worth the fight. It is worth the ugly cry. It is worth, like, maybe losing friends because they don't want to walk through it with you. That you need to find the people that will come close and not push you away. And it might be less than you thought, and that is okay. But to be able to walk in what Jesus actually died and rose again to give us, that is worth the fight. And part of, you know, I guess my mantra or my vision that I would say is like, do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Like, do whatever it takes. And so sometimes that is grief. And you know, what's so interesting too is, I talk about this in the introduction, but really a key scripture that I keep coming back to and one that the Lord really showed me and spoke to me through was at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. So we see the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, Jesus is ushering in the new covenant. He is ushering the kingdom of heaven, a new way, and it's difficult. About forgiveness, about all of these different things where he is calling us higher to a higher way of living. And the crescendo of that Sermon on the Mount is, and this is a paraphrase, I'm not reading it right now for those of you that are listening and not watching, is he basically says, you know, those of you who hear these words of mine and actually do them, it's like you're building your house on a rock. So when the storms come, when the wind and the waves blow and beat against your house, you've built your house on a rock. It is not going to come crashing down. But if you hear these words of mine and don't live them, your whole life is going to crash down. You're building your life on the sand. And I think this is the point. Our sanctification journey in Jesus, our growth in him, our becoming more like Jesus, all has to do with not just being hearers of his word, but reading it, absorbing it, becoming it, and doing it. Therefore, when you go through pain, when you go through a divorce, when you go through loss, when you go through even, like I said, the good change. Some of us, we cry out for these babies and these babies are born and you're like, I'm exhausted and tired. Like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Or marriage, or, you know, any of these things, the things you cry out for, you will quickly find when the storm comes what you've built your life on. So when you figure that out and you're like, ooh, this part of my life was built on the sand. God, I repent. Show me how to build properly, how to actually live and become your word. And those are the ways that we can continually grow in combat. So I know that that was in reference to you asking a question about grief and pain. But at the same time, it's like when you have grief and pain and you walk through loss, you do quickly know what you've built your life on. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I would say pay attention to and choose to lean into it because Jesus is a really good healer.
Amen. Amen. I went through a dark night of the soul the removal of approval that I thought was going to kill me. Mm. And I can't necessarily give you line items of what God did, but he did something so deep in me that I seriously would go through it 1,000 times. And I think that that's what we need to understand. Braving change is actually opening the door to transformation if we're willing to cooperate. It's when we resist the change. I know, but it kind of brings us to another point because it was really interesting. There was so much grace to say goodbye to our former congregation. God just sovereignly provided that we actually had a year and a half of the ability to just sit before the Lord, be healed, all of that. And then the time came for us to go to our next assignment. And it was so strange. I've always felt like I was a really resilient person, but it took time for me to put roots down in that new place. How has it been for you in the transition?
For me, that's why I was saying it was surprising. So we moved from, you know, I loved pastoring in New York City. There was a grace for it. You know, we would tell people that's where we live and they're like, oh, and I'm like, no, we love it. Like we love raising our kids there. But when the grace lifted, it was like, I was so done, right? Everything felt harder. And so when we moved here to Charleston, again, I was saying to my daughter even yesterday, she's driving. So she was, you know, she's 15 and has her permit and we're driving over this hill and you just see like the water and the intercoastal and it's so beautiful. And I was like, it's kind of fun living in a small town. Like we never would have thought we would live, you know, here. And so I would say when we first moved here, we were taken aback by how peaceful it was, how well received and loved we were. But it was about 6 months to a year in when all of those things started to come back up. And I had to deal with them and face them head on. And so our roots have gone down deep here very quickly. But I know that's not always the case. Sometimes for others, that could be a fight. And if you are in that place where there has been a major shift in your life and you feel like a potted plant and you're like, I don't know where to plant myself. I don't know where to put my roots down deep. I know this sounds trite, but it actually works, is just ask God, like, God, what do you want to do? And be obedient to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think be patient. You know,
yes,
because the shoulds, I should be over mm-hmm. this. I should. And so I kind of had to give myself a little bit of room, you know, to just go, okay. Because I think, especially if you've gone through trauma before that transition or through that transition, sometimes you know, like a plant is kind of shell shocked. It takes a while, but totally. just seeing God as that beautiful master gardener who just gently breaks those outside roots that have become bound, and that self-protection and all of that, and just letting yourself put down roots.
Yeah, totally. And let yourself put down roots. And the other thing I would say too is, this was something the Lord showed me as well, because I got here and I felt like I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And he's like, remain. And I was like, okay, that's so cool. But what do you want me to do? And I think that, because I had just cut back, you know, knew that there were so many things that I was doing that, even as a lead pastor or leading a conference, I was like, that was not my position or role anymore. And so I'm like, identity crisis, which I had to repent for, because I was like, God, yeah. I always tell people, don't put your identity in what you do. But I so did that. Please forgive me. You know, so I think even reading John 15 has been such a verse over my life too. It's like, our God is a good gardener. Jesus is the vine. Like, and if we remain in him and he remains in us, or if we abide in him and he abides in us, like sometimes that's our only directive, is to abide and to remain. And I think, again, there's nothing to do but take a good nap. Stay in the presence of God and remain in him. Do not cut yourself off from the vine. Do not try to do it on your own. It's not going to work and you won't bear any fruit. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. I love that. That's so good. And I think recognize that it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to build new relations. It takes time to navigate. I, you know, have some friends who have recently retired and they spent their whole career having an identity, kind of like you said. And now it's like, okay, what's next? And I do wonder how do we, for those girls out there who are like, I do think I'm in transition. God is obviously closed this season. And I don't quite know what the next one, and I love your advice. Stop trying to do, spend some time just belonging to Jesus. I think that's so crucial, because otherwise we just go from one level of busyness to another and we do miss that opportunity for healing and transformation. But how do we, and I'd love to get some insight from this. How do we discern what God's will is for that next season? We've spent that time just with him and us. How can we tell maybe what God has next?
Well, I think one of the things to do is, like, first of all, to ask God to heighten and give you more discernment. We do need to be in the Word daily, and I will break down why. We hear that a lot, but oftentimes if we want to discern the will of God, what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is, we actually have to know the sound of his voice, which means you have to be in the Word, whether you feel, know, understand, or getting revelation out of it, whether it's like, that was the best Bible reading, or the like, yeah, I mean, you know, that was it. You start to know the sound of your Father's voice, the sound of the Good Shepherd, sound of the Holy Spirit. So then, when you get into a situation where you start to feel a shift coming, you can discern. And this is why I'm saying, ask God in your time of prayer, God, will you give me more discernment? And specifically, I would say for this, ask God for more discernment on what is human, what is from the pit of hell and what is holy.
Mm.
Those three things, the three H's, because a lot of times what we may be discerning is completely out of our flesh. Like, this is what I want. Or it's from the pit of hell and it's got a little tweak to it and it's a lie. And then other times it's like, wow, that is holy. That is the map that God has given me. Now for us, this was an interesting journey. So we transition our church. We know, like, in our friend that's pastoring it now, he's like, just stay and live in New York. Like, come, keep coming to the church. And we're like, you know, we actually want to step away and give you complete authority to do whatever you want to do. If you want to change the name, if you want to change everything, like, we don't want you looking at us every Sunday wondering how we're doing. Like, you need to just to have the authority to do it. Plus, we're like, if we don't have to live here and we can base the ministry of what we're called to do, we should just spend a little less money. So we started to ask God, like, where do you want us? Right? Discerning. So this is hopefully practical and helpful. So we're asking God, like, God, you know, where do you want us to move? We hear nothing. So we start to make a list of churches of our friends where we're like, well, we'd love to just go be a part of their church and serve them. We hear nothing. And nothing sits right either. So we're reading it and it feels like it's just kind of like falling flat on the ground. And we're literally praying together. And as we're this time, we're on vacation. We're sitting in a screened-in porch in North Carolina. And my husband walks out and he's holding our fresh cups of coffee and he looks at me and he just goes, he says this one line. He says, what about the Surratts? Now, this is the church we're at now. He says, what about the Surratts? Now, we have a tiny bit of relationship with them. Like, I'd spoken at their women's conference. My husband had served under Pastor Greg a little bit, the founding pastor. His son, Josh Surratt, and daughter-in-law, Lisa, now pastorate. So Paul says this one line, what about the Surratts? And I start weeping. Like I feel home in my heart and I cannot explain it. And that was it. And we both just went, oh my gosh, that's where we're going.
Yes.
So we took a trip. We spied out the land. We had a conversation with Pastor Josh and Lisa. We came home and told our kids, and that was that. And so, but I'm just saying, it's like, sometimes it's like a treasure hunt.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying you need to be in the Word, like, literally taking deep breaths, asking for more discernment, paying attention to what is you, what is literally from the pit of hell or the enemy speaking and trying to distract you or tempt you. And what is holy? God, what is the pathway? And it'll come in the most mysterious of ways, but pay attention.
Exactly.
And the Lord, that's all. I hope that's helpful.
No, that is, I love it. I love it because that's just super practical. And there's just a knowing, you know, there is that knowing. I was just reading a book in my devotions this morning, and he was talking about how Israel, when it was time to move, and you talked about when the grace lifts, and oh, I've experienced that. When the cloud lifts, you better be ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you do sense that grace. It doesn't mean tomorrow you're supposed to resign, but there is a shift coming. And I think that that's one of the clear ways to know or discern, begin to discern God's leading, and then just taking that to the Lord. But he said how the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's presence, the Israelites had to let it go ahead. They were not allowed to follow close. They had to follow it from a distance. And he said this phrase, give God room to maneuver.
Wow.
And I liked that, because when we're on top of it, we can't see when the shift is. And so there is that. We ask God for wisdom and direction. Then we trust that he's leading us and we follow at a distance. And sometimes we're like, well, I don't know where he's going. And then all of a sudden, oh, that's it. Just like you said.
Yeah.
Sometimes for us, you know, that next assignment wasn't the super clear direction that it had been in the past.
Yeah.
Instead, it was kind of like what Paul writes. He says, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. But seriously, and then we may have our idea of what we want to do, just like the Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. and then doors keep closing and bring you a totally different direction than you thought. And so that's why, like, this life is truly an adventure,
yes.
a trust fall, like, continually going, oh God, like, for me, even right now, I'm like, please never move us. I want to grow old and die holding my great-great-grandchildren in this place. Like, I love it here, you know? So I'm like, that's my request, but do whatever you want, you know? And so I think it's just living a life that is genuinely surrendered, and it's easier to hear when your agendas move out of the way.
Absolutely. I have a friend who has such flexibility when it comes to that. God has opened up incredible doors for her in ministry and different things, but she has such a willingness to be tender to his leading. And when he says no, she doesn't self-doubt. She doesn't get angry. She just says no. She shuts one thing down and then God opens another. But she's not driven, you know, and I think that's the thing I've been praying. Lord, I don't want to be driven by the flesh, by the shoulds, by the, I need to do something for God. You know, I want to be led by the Spirit. And yeah. I just sense everything that you're talking about. I feel like the Lord is actually speaking between the lines to some of our listeners. And he's just saying, don't be afraid. And I feel like this is for somebody. You're not going to miss it and you're not going to mess it up. And so much of the enemy wants to come and drive us and push us and say, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. God can't steer a parked car. And while that is true at times, there are times where we need to be still. He also spoke in this book, said, how did the Israelites cross the Red Sea? They stepped in the water and stood still. And then God opened it. How did they go through the Jordan? They stepped into the water and stood still, and God opened the way before it. So I would just love to have you give any final thoughts, but then also just pray for us. Cause I think all of us were like, I don't like change. Babies cry when they're changed. We like permanence. We like security. And yet the great adventure of life is being able to follow the Lord wherever he leads. Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts would be just that you said the word adventure, and I think change your perspective and in a way, like, have fun in it. Wherever you're like gripping on with control, like, try to laugh at yourself and go, God, where can I let go and actually really just enjoy you? Enjoy the fact that I'm getting older and not be afraid of it. Enjoy the fact that, you know what I mean? It's like all of these things, life didn't look like I thought it would, but God, can you show me the adventure that we're on? I think that is like another song over my life, is just surrender, surrender, surrender. And so whatever ways you can surrender control and trust God, do it. And the other one final thing I would say, one of my other favorite chapters in the book is to choose integrity and change. And I would say, just so you know, if, and this comes to like major or minor changes, before social media, we didn't run PR campaigns to make sure everybody knew that we were in the right for our changes and choices that we're making. We were just obedient to God. Amen. And we walked with integrity before him. So I would say resist the urge to try to control the narrative and just obey God in the changes that he's asking you to make in your life or whatever that is. And of course, have integrity in it. Do it right. No need to throw other people under the bus. Forgive, let go, and lean into God. So those would be the final things I would say.
That's so beautiful. The Lord really, during our transition, he kept saying, choose humility, choose humility. Let God defend you. And then he kept bringing that verse, you know, Philippians 2, that Jesus made himself of no reputation. And when we lay down our reputation, there's nothing left to build and there's nothing left to defend. Our lives are really in his hands. And oh my goodness, there's so much freedom. Because a lot of the anxiety and change is fear. It's fear of what people think, what people might say. Oh, powerful words. Thank you so much for this time and for braving change to help us brave change. You've really been a blessing, and I hope people will pick up this book. Will you close us in prayer?
My pleasure. Oh, Father, we just place before you every listener, every viewer, every heart that is leaning into or pressing into a change that they saw coming, a change that they cried out to you for, or a change that they did not ask for, and their heart is breaking and they're wondering why. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted. and you are near to those who are not brokenhearted. May we pay attention to your presence in our life, to your leading. I pray for those that are struggling to grieve, that are holding it all in, God, that you would release them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That they would let themselves go there, that they would release the tears because you bottle them up and you draw us close. Would they stop pushing you away and allow you to scoop them up like only a good father could, to put our heads close to your heart, to know how your heart beats for us. You so love us, God. And I just pray that those that are in the middle of change, that they would release the past, they would welcome the growth that even feels painful, that feels like it's coming at a cost. There are many of those listening that feel like the cost has been great, but the growth will be even greater. And so, Lord, be near to them as well. And for those of us that grip on with control, I pray that this would be a day where we take a deep breath and open our hands and surrender the things that we're trying to control, even the people in our world, the outcomes, the situations, the narrative. Lord, may we let go and truly trust that you are our vindicator, you are the deliverer, you are our healer, you are our shield. And so we just give our lives to you and submit it all once again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you were encouraged by our conversation today. I know that change can really be difficult, especially when we feel like the life we really always wanted has been ripped away. But there is such a blessing found when we let go and trust God, believing that He's leading us and guiding us every step of the way. You can find links to Andy's book, Braving Change, in the show notes, as well as the link to our previous conversation about uncomplicating friendships. That's episode 76. I'll be posting this particular interview over at YouTube as well. And while you're there, you might just want to check out the recent videos that I've been posting that talk about my writing journey and how you can pursue God's call on your life. My publishing career has definitely been a winding, twisting way that the Lord has taken me, and it's been filled with lots of transitions and unexpected change. But it's an adventure that I'm so glad I didn't miss. I'm so glad that I said yes to God. And I believe that God has some beautiful things on the other side of your surrender, on the other side of your willingness to brave change. If you enjoy these kind of interviews and discussions, I hope you'll leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast player. It helps get these episodes of The Living Room out in front of more people so that they, just like you and I, can find help to live and love and lead like Jesus, no matter the twisty, winding, changing times we find ourselves in. God uses it all.